Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly. I'm your host as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and this week I am joined by Christopher Somani. How are you?
Hey, well, Louis. Terrific to be here. Buzzing.
No.
Good to talk about the Celtic this week.
Fucking hell, you weren't like that before we started recording, but nice to see you full of energy. We're also joined by a returning, he's still on mute now, so I'm going to, oh, there he is, consummate professional. It's Barry Gallagher, good to see you, my man.
You too, looking forward to this. As Samani says, there's a lot of positivity around just now, so let's keep it going.
We don't do podcasts enough now, Barry. I do miss you.
During the Christmas holidays, we'll try and get our usual couple of weeks together.
Aye, exactly.
On pods, I mean, I don't mean me moving in.
Hey, I'm all dead, Barry. I'm all dead. And all the way from a pure bad place in Germany, it's Graham McKay. Yes, Graham, you've got a new haircut.
I have shaved it off. So usually you shave off for summer, but no, I've decided to do it for winter. It's -6 out there just now, so
all you need is a beard and you'll look like Gal, essentially, with a haircut and the glasses. So it's up to you whether that's a good thing, to be honest with you.
I've made a huge mistake.
We're going to start off with... there's Gal saying fuck up in the chat. That's lovely. We're going to start off in a series tone. The Cynic, along with a large number of other fan media organisations, with fan organisations and supporters clubs, have written an open letter to the acting CEO... Michael Nicholson, basically stating the objection to the appointment, or the kind of imminent appointment by the looks of it, of Bernard Higgins, who was the Assistant Chief Constable with Police Scotland. So he is, I'm sure you've all heard about this, he's going to be part of the kind of security team, or heading up the security at Celtic, and he has a long list of... misdemeanors and things that under his stewardship that Police Scotland done to fellow fans, targeting them, disrupting their lives, all that sort of stuff. But the open letter is there. It's on our Twitter. It's on all the other fan media outlets have all got it as well. So go and have a read at it. It's something that we all need to come together on and strongly oppose, and hopefully the club will listen to the fans at some stage, but this guy simply cannot be working for Celtic, and hopefully that really doesn't happen. So it's there to read and hopefully retweet and get as much support as we can. We're going to go from a serious discussion to a more joyous discussion. The Christmas advert's out, Barry. You saw it this morning before you went to work. What was your thoughts?
I did. I was nearly late for work because I kind of watched it and then rewatched it. But no, I enjoyed it. It's something I always like. It's a bit of fun. And the kind of drip-fed wee snippets of it last night, I think everyone was excited when you saw Jota as George Michael. And I think it's always a joyous occasion. It's... You know that Christmas is on the way. Always looking forward to seeing who's playing which part. And the fact that we've got such a sort of new team, lots of new players, a new manager, etc. It's great to kind of see the morale there. I think at the end of the advert, when you see them laughing, I think that's them genuinely laughing. So it's come out at a nice time, as we're going to talk about, because we are in a good place on the pitch. You're starting to see relationships build between the players. Obviously Ange did the open goal interview, which came out yesterday as well, so just getting to know more about the manager and the players, it's nice. So I really enjoyed it personally.
Yeah, I think the other thing that he done, like, you know, the Kyogo doing the Halloween thing when he was scaring them all and all that, I thought even that you could see, like, the kind of banter between them and the laugh that they all had. I think that they have, you know, Ange has done really well to foster a right close kind of bond, I think, already with them. I think that's evident and off the pitch and on the pitch, actually, from what we saw at the weekend. But there was highlights and there was lowlights in that Christmas advert, right? See the fucking Jota thing, Like, could they know I just paid a wee bit of money and got a 20-second clip of Last Christmas or something or whatever the fuck? Like, like, it was a bit of shite, so man. That was probably the worst part of the whole thing. Personal highlight for me before you came in was your man with a laptop. Thought that was class. Striking.
It was, well, I think you're being a bit harsh with the, I mean, everybody was waiting in the Jota thing, and then to stick Greg Taylor in as Andrew Ridgely, the most Andrew Ridgely Celtic. See, if you, I said, you said to me before it, we want to cast somebody as Andrew Ridgely, I'd have said Greg Taylor, so we'll leave it at that. But the personal highlight for me was Juranovic doing, can't remember the name of the guy.
Saltbay.
That was superb. That was my favourite part, to be honest with you.
Graham, any highlights?
I think when they did Jota at first in the cabin, that was a kind of subtle reference to Last Christmas. I think they could have just left it at that. They went a wee bit too far with it. But for me, these adverts, I'm going to bring the tone down a little bit here, but I had tears running down my face when I watched it today, and it's the same every year because it just brings, for me, it's just like memories of like being away from Scotland at that time of year and stuff like that. And honest to God, it's fucking traumatic for me the first time I watched it. After that, I can start enjoying it, but the first time, especially, Gal was in a pod a few weeks ago. He was talking about, anyway, what can have been that long ago? He was talking to his dad about Betty Old. And I get tears in my eyes at that point as well, because I was thinking about talking to my dad about Betty Old, and obviously he passed quite recently. So the Betty Old being in there as well, man, fuck me. This morning I was just in a bad way with it.
I would assume they probably, you know, I would imagine they've kind of edited all that stuff in, obviously, after what happened. But I thought it was very well done, and Auld Lang Syne and everything. It was good because obviously you've got Ange coming from Australia via Japan and Kyogo coming and all that. It was very much a kind of everybody from foreign lands coming together. It was lovely. Good wee feel to it. Fuck John Lewis. You know what I mean? I thought it was good. So that's the Christmas advert out of the way. Actually, before we get to the football, the open goal, Barry, you mentioned the open goal interview. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of open goal, to be honest with you, but I thought it was good. It was the most relaxed I think I've ever seen Ange, so it was quite interesting.
I think, yeah, it's a couple of things that Si Ferry said, you could see it really tickled Ange, and it was nice to see him laughing, like genuinely, not just like the kind of forced laugh he has to put on when journalists ask him the usual pish each week. But no, it was nice to see, and it was some nice wee snippets that you maybe wouldn't have got anywhere else. It was particularly like the part about when he says the death seat next to him on the plane, because he can go 8-12 hour flights without talking to anyone.
I mean, that's just an arsehole. I mean, I still be out in the bush. That's just being a prick.
There's keeping like a comfortable distance between you and your players, and then just being downright rude. It's funny to see.
So, Manny, did you see it?
Yeah, no, I seen it. I mean, it didn't really tell you much, but it was quite enjoyable in terms of exactly what you said there, seeming relaxed as well. And he doesn't really put a foot wrong when it comes to these things, the way that he talks. Do you know what I mean? It's like even getting across that, he came across friendly and, you know, an amenable guy or whatever when he was talking to them. But you came away from that. See, when he mentioned that kind of quip about the plane, that's what the way a manager should be. He should be standoffish with the players. He shouldn't be their pal. You know, and then the minute they're away from the club or they retire, then that'll come. So when I heard that, and then I seen the tweet for Ryan McGowan, the boy that used to play for Hearts, saying that he'd sat next to him and stuff. So, yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was just open goals. It's fairly entertaining or whatever. It didn't tell you much different, but I suppose it was nice to see. Nice to see a few giggles from the manager.
I did enjoy it, right? But see, one thing it does, man, not in my hands, just in general, right? See, anytime you give them, like, you line them up, tee them up to say something positive about the game in Scotland or anything else, he never does. Like, he never goes for the obvious. Like, see, when they said about the intensity, you know, like, the way the question was framed, it gave him a chance to say, yeah, I mean, it's so intense, it's great, blah, blah, blah. He's just like, nah, not really. Like, you know, I don't. That's not a very good accent, but you know what I mean? It's like...
That's a good way, Gerard.
All right, Dave.
I think part of that comes from, if you remember when he first came and you know, one of the quips about Hearts, and he said, you know, I was from the same planet and things like that. I think he felt a bit disrespected in terms of what he had done before. You know, he'd managed at a World Cup and things like that. And it still seems to maybe not bristle, but it's almost like saying, no, look, I've managed that a certain level before, and you're teeing him up to say something about the Scottish game, then he talks about the intensity of the World Cup. So I think that comes for that. But the other thing, the thing that he needs absolutely slated for, is using the word super excited, or whatever he did at the start of the podcast. You need to nip that in the bud, Ange. But apart from that, all good.
I but see that whole bit about I lives on the same planet and all that. I think it does matter in this. You could say to Ange, do you know who, like, any, like, pure obscure player that plays in a shitey team in Scotland? And he'd be like, yeah, of course I know. Like, I live on planet Earth. Of course I know who fucking Derek Riordan is or something like that. It's like, no, you wouldn't. Fuck up. You've never been here before. Why would you even know who this guy is?
So, to paraphrase, Louis McCaffrey calling for the head of Angelos Postecoglou.
No, I love Big Ange. I do. It was nice to see him with the Christmas jumper and all that clobber in the advert as well. But, aye, I'm grumpy today. I'm just being a grump. Graham, open goal. Was it an open goal?
It was an open goal for Celtic PR, and it's kind of refreshing the way they are this season, as compared to just offering happy birthday messages and not tweeting for days like they were last season. I mean, I think he's a very self-aware person. I think he knows exactly how he wants to come across, and he's aware of being able to do that. I think that Simone stole my point a wee bit with that. I think he would have felt disrespected, all the stuff about being a fraud and all the stuff about the Japanese league being for pensioners and stuff like that. He would have been coming in thinking, okay, I need to kind of upplay my past here so I don't look as if I'm just coming from nowhere. And, I mean, he is right about the World Cup. I mean, it's a big deal, even if it didn't do much in the tournament. But still, I know I enjoyed it. It's this, the stuff for me. The thing I enjoyed most was the inverted fullbacks, and not because like inverted fullbacks are a hipster thing or anything like that, but the way he explained it in such a way where afterwards you were like, aye, that's completely rational. You want your best wingers going up the wing, and you want these guys that will not get maybe as much ability to be shuffling into the centre. So he does have a way of coming across, and one thing he spoke about is that he's always been able to get people to buy into him. And you can tell because he is clearly a charismatic person that doesn't need to be everyone's mate, but when he speaks, people want to listen to him. And for everyone that has a bingo card for Sunday podcast, get ready to cross the Martin O'Neill one now. But Martin O'Neill was always someone who stayed away from the players. And the players spoke about the team talks were so good because they hadn't heard his voice for the rest of the week. So it was more impactful. And that's just, I think it's just a technique of leading. Like, just you're yeah, separate from them. As I said, he needs to make the tough choices, and he doesn't want to be making tough choices if he's already mates with the players.
Yeah, he's. I think it's good that he's doing these sorts of things as well, with the open goal stuff and the advert and all that. It's I think it's really good to see. It's interesting. But anyway, listen, let's move on to the football. We had the international break and then into the League Cup semi-finals at the weekend, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Don't you worry, we're going to cover both of them. Let's start with our game. Celtic 1, St Johnstone 0. James Forrest with the goal. Samani, I'll come to you first. Kind of overall thoughts on a game that I felt at times I was pretty worried about, kind of middle of the game. I was kind of nervous and worried about whether the breakthrough was going to come. But I tell you what, some great individual performances, and the team and how they celebrated everything else. I think you can see that it's a team that fostered a really, really good understanding and a real desire to win.
Yeah, when it comes to cup semi-finals, you kind of just need to win. So get that out of the way first. We won, and that's the main thing. Performance-wise, I don't think we were as good as we can be. I think we were a wee bit short of that. St Johnstone, we've seen what they did at Celtic Park in terms of the way that they set up. They're good at setting up that way, but I thought they were a wee bit negative, you know, for a cup semi-final.
Were you surprised about that? Because I was surprised that they didn't give it a go.
maybe not in hindsight, but the, when it came out and you seen them setting up that way, I thought, you know, even if it is, maybe why, one of the many reasons why I'm not a football manager, but you'd think as cup holders and the fact that they won both cups, you know, there might have been a bit more of a pride there, but you know, that, you know, it's a results business, football, and that's maybe why they set up that way. So I think that affected our performance and our ability to play the game that we normally play. I think that's something that we've touched on in a number of podcasts. We're going to need to get better in terms of what we can do to slice these teams open. That's work in progress going forward. But yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't a classic. You know, the match itself was fairly forgettable. But, you know, you seen when the goal went in, how much it means to the players. You seen, you know, when the Celtic do that, which is, we call it the unique angle stuff. You seen the reaction from McGregor, you know, proper captain's reaction. Forest, the players were all in it together. So it was fantastic. Job done. Not a classic game, not one for the archives or anything like that, but I was pleased to get through. And it's huge, huge for the team and Ange, because it's a trophy. Well, it's not a trophy. I'm not Kieran Harron. He jumps the treble that year. It's a chance for a trophy, first trophy of the season. To get there, you know, debut season, it can really, really kind of set them up going forward for that. It's not going to be easy, because I'm sure we'll come on and talk about our opponents in the final or whatever, but overall I'm happy with that.
Barry, 5:15 kickoff Saturday afternoon at the Shiho is Hampden, but what an atmosphere, man.
Oh, it was brilliant. Just when Samani was saying that it wasn't a memorable game, it could have been fucking 5 each and it would have been memorable for me, because I get awful too excited before the game. But no, it was brilliant. The whole, I think Lorenzo summed it up really well when he was talking about these occasions where Celtic seem to, it's a really Celtic-y thing to do, like obviously with Bertie's passing and the displays, the way the support came together, and it was great to be a part of. And while the performance wasn't great, it was controlled, and we got there in the end. But I just think that the support were magnificent. Even watching it back and watching the videos, I think Keith had a really good video that seems to have been stolen by all and sundry from across the globe. The Albanian, former Albanian president was passing off as his own. But just, it's one of those things, I think, because as I mentioned earlier, it's a new team. You're seeing the relationships. I thought Jota was excellent. But see, just seeing how the players react, and I think I said in one of the chats that, see the celebrations that we become accustomed to at the end where the players go over for the da-da-da-da-da's. I've always thought this season it's kind of been half-arsed a wee bit, and I think that's maybe because we've still got a long way to go and because of the shambles of last season. But the
sort of when the first game of the season and they're over fucking dead. calm down.
But I think because it was, because we have reached a final, I think that was the most sort of exuberant the players have been. And Graham, you mentioned it on the reaction as well. Like, the players seen those scenes during the match, before the match, and then at the end. If they didn't appreciate how big a club Celtic were before now, they certainly will now. And I think the players took a great deal from the support they were given. And you could see that at the end, and it's just something that's building along nicely. We're in a good position, but we just need to capitalise on it now. But no, I loved it. And then some nice beers with some cynics after the game as well, so it was all around good day.
Graham, there was you know, individuals wise, you know, probably the wingers were kind of Jekyll and Hyde. You had Jota, you know, looked majestic at times. You know, there's no point in debating whether we sign him or not. Like, if we can sign him, we sign him. But, you know, he was sublime at times. And then you have Abada on the other side who really, again, struggled to impact on things and eventually made way for Forrest to score the winning goal. Other than maybe Jota, because obviously, I mean, you can talk about him if you want, absolutely. But any other individuals that really stood out for you? And I was going to mention Nir Beaton. What were your thoughts on Nir Beaton's performance?
I liked Beaton. He was controlled. He was measured. He was even kind of had some bursts through the middle of the park as well. He surprised me because I'd written him off because of just his idiotic decision-making. But I guess it was harsh to be writing someone off that wasn't an actual centre-back. They've been playing centre-back basically every game that he gets involved in. So I was happy with Beaton. I think I would prefer McGregor back there and two eights in front of him, or maybe McGregor and as one of the eights and a more dynamic guy sitting at the back. But beggars can't be choosers. We've got a really lean squad. We need to make sure we use all of it. And so far, he seems like the best option. I'm not convinced by Sorrow. McCarthy needs to get a run of games. Beaton is there and he's performing well. And I saw some people on Twitter talking about, like, why was McGregor and Brown kind of running at the ground when Beaton can clearly still play at centre mid? And I think that's a pretty good point. But overall, I think Juranovic had a great game as well. And I think we've kind of lucked into building a squad that are going to... I think this squad, this small squad that we've got, have created a kind of siege mentality. When you think about it, half that team that started on Saturday there, they fucked the 10. So they've got that on their minds. They knew how important it was and they fucked it. And now they've seen all the criticism, they've seen Rangers celebrating, they've seen everything coming their way from us and from the media. And it just seems to me they've got that real determination. I posted a picture on Twitter the other day of Forrest and McGregor celebrating. You could just see it in their face. And we've coupled that by signing players that have got points to prove. You think about someone like CCV. He was toiling down in England. He was there for years and years and not getting any games. And then you've got Joe Hart as well. Obviously, he has been battered from pillar to post over the last few years about his ability. So we've kind of made a combination of real determined players coming from missing the 10 and getting players in that need to prove themselves, almost like people like John Hartson and Chris Sutton. Obviously not at the same level, but they were similar in their kind of profile and that they had to come up here and try and prove that they weren't done. So, no, I was delighted with the game. Like, for me, people saying it was boring and stuff like that, maybe it was boring for somebody that didn't care about Celtic, but I was engaged in it the whole time. Maybe it was just because I was doing the minute by minute, but like I was enjoying the game. And the atmosphere, just the songbook, the whole game was obviously adding to it as well. So, no, I enjoyed it. And I'm so delighted that this team are through to the final because they've had a tough time of it from all sides over the last few months. And they deserve praise for what they got.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, Forrest comes on. I mean, Forrest, I think many of us probably would have been happy to see him start the game. But, you know, maybe he just wasn't ready for that yet. You would probably expect he'll be starting maybe this week in one of the games, which we'll come on to later. But I think, you know, it was great for him to be the one to come on and have that impact, get the goal, although it being a kind of scrappy one, but, you know, he's got to score it. We've seen other players at the weekend balloon ones over the bar from similar distances. Again, we will cover that. But, you know, James Forrest steps up and is pivotal. And I think that's my big takeaway. I think my big takeaway from the game is the togetherness. I think there is a real hunger and desire. I think those players have gelled really, really quickly. And, you know, I don't think it's just Ange. I think Cal McGregor as captain has a hell of a lot to do with that. I think he is led by example. I think he's, you know, we don't know exactly how things work behind the scenes, but I could just imagine him being the type of guy who has went the extra mile to get people settled in and to help them. And I think as a team, I think Graham's right, you know, six of the players that started the game at the weekend are new signings, and all but Abada are players that you can absolutely rely on every week. And then you've got a couple of, you know, two or three guys in there that were no even near like the first team in the last couple of years that have came in and suddenly found a different level to their game. So I think there is a lot to take away from it. And as Sir Manny correctly said at the start of all of this, semi-final is just about getting through. And we do the job, we get through, and it takes us to that final. Christopher Sir Manny, get that finger down and speak some words.
I think, now that the phrase, you know, that I'm about to say, or it's not even a phrase, the point I'm about to make, you know, might. I was worried there for a wee second.
If you'd said we are there, I was. Oh
no. That's not the one I'm talking about.
None of that, Phil.
You might hear this come out of Neil Lennon's mouth, but I still think it's true. The fans made a huge difference. Now, you can't forget. I mean, last season, I mean, he said that the reason that they won, that we didn't win the 10 was because there was no fans. Now that's pish, right? Because it might have been a small factor in it, or a factor in it, but it was the hopeless mismanagement of the team. But I think that, you know, we drive them on, and I think the players identify with us being in there. That atmosphere would have drove on some of those players, players who, you know, are new to the club, players who are old to the club. Guys like Callum McGregor talking about his role as captain, you know, he'd be talking about the fans, he'd be talking about the atmosphere, he'd be talking about Bertie. You know, if Bertie had passed away last season and there was no fans in there, the effect that we were doing it for him wouldn't have been as strong. And I think that the game at the weekend shows the difference that we can make. You don't know, it's one of these things, but I wouldn't be surprised if it would be them struggled more to go over the line or get that goal if we weren't there. And that's what's so great about being back. We can make those days extra special, and the players rise to the occasion for us. So I hope that wasn't too Lennon-like, but I definitely think that needs pointed out.
Poetic, Barry.
I was just going to kind of build on that. It's a two-way street, really, isn't it, Samari? Like, they feed off of us and we feed off of them. And
yeah.
And I think the fact that it's kind of mixed, obviously, we've got lots of new players, but it's almost like a new beginning for the older players, because they obviously are buying into the new manager and his ideas and tactics and planning, which I don't think existed at all under the previous manager. But it's just it's like a powerful movement of both parties coming together, and it's great to see. And you can see by the players' reactions on social media, like all the new players, and they're always thanking the fans, and it comes across sincere, because I know that you get a lot of sort of Premiership teams and fans were great on to the next one, that kind of tired patter. But I think guys like Joe Hart really do appreciate playing in front of these fans, and I can't think of many of the players who have signed would have experienced anything like this. I know that Jota would have played in big crowds for Benfica, and I know Benfica are quite a passionate support, but going to away games and stuff like that, where we have sometimes three quarters of the ground, that'll be alien to a lot of players, and I think they're all just feeding off it, so it's really good to see.
Yeah, I mean, just before we move on to them, the comical segment of the show, we made five subs at the game at the weekend. Ayeti, Soro, McCarthy, Johnson and Forrest all came on, and again, I think that's important, because we're getting some legs and minutes in the legs, as you say. And, you know, the likes of Soro coming on, Ayeti coming on, I think that does something to keep them feeling integrated in the squad, feeling part of things. Whether they're actually going to get significant game time remains to be seen, but I think we're slowly getting there. There's a couple of kind of, well, you know, Irigidi was on the bench. I mean, he's never going to fucking play for us, but we're getting there as a squad, I think. But listen, let's move on. Graham, let's talk about the game on Sunday. I'll tell you the result first. Hibs 3, Rangers 1. Oof.
No chance. Didn't happen.
The plucky team from Glasgow get a goal back. The fucking diddies. What was your favourite part of the day?
Well, I'm actually taking, like, I think it was all down to me, because at 3-1, I looked at the score and I thought to myself, I'm going to turn that on. And then I thought, oh, fuck it, I'll be a jinx. I'm going to leave my phone and go and walk the dog for about an hour. So I came back to see the result. So I think it's all down to me. If I'd turned that game on, it would have been 4-3 Rangers and we'd be playing them in the final. No, it was great. Like, everything about it, the Conor Goldson interview afterwards, the fact that Tavernier perfectly lays off it on a plate by chesting it down in the box. What the fuck was he thinking? No, it was wonderful. And just the Hibs fans singing about only one Steven Gerrard. I mean, them all with their orange and the orange flares and everything. Oh, Jesus, man. You could, like, if you were trying to write some kind of like satirical parody about all this. He's just, you wouldn't come close to the way that Rangers always do this to themselves. It's just, they're a permanent laughing stock, and it's hilarious, man. I love it.
Some of my favourite parts of the game were when the camera panned to Big Gio in the stand. He had a wee tartan cover over him and his missus, and he was tucking it in, getting the cosy gloves on. Then he went up, put his jacket in the chair, had a wee cup of tea and a wee pie at half time. Fucking brilliant, man. He just can't beat that stuff. It was such a great day. And then the Goldson interview. Oh, I mean, Barry, you know, it's these little things in life. I think we all kind of thought that this might happen, but the way they capitulated, they are weak as piss, aren't they?
Yeah, and it wasn't a great look for Van Bronckhorst, I've got to say. Looking all nice and cosy when we could have gone down and salvage it. I was trying to think of it from a sort of teaching perspective. Like, if you'd say you were taking over a new job and you went to observe your class and it was out of hand, like they'd a supply teacher in who never knew what they were doing, you would step
people
in.
People getting fucking ragged on the class.
You would step in, but not Gio. Gio was to enjoy the pies, as you say.
You know, Joey, it looked like, see, when he got up the stairs at half time, it looked like he'd been at a funeral, right? You've been at the graveside, you finally got to the reception. Finally got to the reception, get your jacket off on the back of a chair, you've got your table sorted, straight up to the bar. That was him. He'd just been at a funeral and he thought, fuck it, I'm getting a drink.
It's you take so much more pleasure out of these occasions now after how horrific last season was. And sometimes I question whether I'm actually a big Celtic fan or I just fucking hate Rangers, because I take so much pleasure out of them losing. And it was great, as you say, it had everything. The orange outfits, some of the pictures on Twitter were unbelievable. Oh. And Twitter's been brilliant for Celtic fans and terrible for them for the last 2 weeks or so. And it's great to have the days back, but we need to kick on and make sure there's plenty more of those days to come.
It's great seeing a Rangers team getting led out a semi-final at Hampden by somebody's da. Who the fuck is that guy? It's just some wee guy's da just suddenly decided to take the team.
I think, I don't know if it was Stuart or Eddie that said it, but said David McCallum, was it? He said that kind of jet black hair at the start of the game.
Oh, and Big Porteous as well, his interview after it, you know, getting at Gerrard. Did I look happy? So, Manny, what did you take away from that? Not just you know, the way they performed, the kind of capitulation of things, and also Goldson's comments, because I think that says a lot about the kind of mentality of the group. They've lost the hunger after getting one trophy in 10.
Yeah, I mean, you better caution. I'm going to urge, because we're still 4 points behind.
Staunch.
But I think it's clear, if you're analysing it, we're a team on the way up, building, getting there. We need to strengthen in January. You know, it seems as if we're kind of building towards something, and they're a team that are regressing. Now, the key thing about this for me is Van Bronckhorst won't manage the same way that Gerrard did. And I don't know what you could do to whip that current squad that they've got to play any differently. You know, they were very rigid. They played a certain way, very narrow, you know. And they don't seem like he's not going to try and galvanise that squad in the same way or play the same way Gerrard did. It's going to take rebuilding. That's going to cost money. That's going to take time. So I would caution that they're weak and that they're going to capitulate. You know, I still think they've got enough there that, you know, it might happen. I hope it happens. But at the same time, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think that was a changing of the guard yet. I'm urging a bit of caution, but I think the trajectories are clear that they're going down and we're coming back up. Hopefully that happens quicker. But let's not just assume that the job's done just now. Certainly let's not let the board assume the job's done now, because January's still going to be a big month for recruitment.
I'd just like to kind of, away from the banter aspect of it, we're 4 points behind and they've arguably still got the better squad in the league, especially when you consider how paper thin ours is. we are bringing subs on not to give them minutes, but to rest players. So that's a kind of not a great place to be in. I was looking at the backroom staff he was bringing in because obviously they had a massive hole, and it's guys that look as if they've got chops, like performance analysts that have been around for a long time, physios that have worked for the Dutch national team. So he looks as if he's getting the people in that he wants. Apparently they're going to get this guy from Antwerp that's going to be like a pathway guys for the youth team. So even though they're obviously in a bit of chaos at the moment, they still seem as if they've got a good infrastructure, which we don't seem to have as much. And obviously, we get an injury to Callum McGregor, we get an injury to Kyogo, we could be behind by a number of points pretty quickly. So, as Samaya says, we need to urge caution here. And most importantly, as I implied there, we need to make sure that the board don't think, oh, Rangers in turmoil, we can just float towards the end of the season and win the league, because it's definitely not going to go like that.
Well, that's cold, wet, pish, bold and matchups. I was very much in the Lorenzo camp of, you know, that was the day we won the league with fucking trebles on.
No, it's possible that they could unravel before building up. I mean, don't get me wrong. Let's not let go of that hope, you know. As I said before, I said it last week, December's a huge month for us as well. And our squad, I would be very surprised if we got through it with full points. But Van Bronckhorst's a risk. It doesn't matter that, he does seem to be bringing in good guys for the back room, as Graham says. But that doesn't necessarily equate to success. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work. And he's still going to need to pick that squad apart and rebuild it back up. The rumours are that he's going to have to sell. So I still think that their trajectory is down the way, and there's going to have to be some shake-up there before it comes back up, would be my feeling on that. But the key thing is, boring as fuck, concentrating ourselves is the main thing in terms of what we're doing. So, don't know. That is a wee bit more positive, Louis. Sorry for pissing on your chips, mate, but they're still edible.
Can I be a wee bit negative again?
Get him off. He's worse than me.
just want to say, we have seen as a support the impact a different manager can have on players. The players that are all over the place at the moment could be fucking Maradona next week, you know what I mean? Like, we've had it with Rodgers, and to a certain extent we've had it with Ange after Lennon. So it's an unknown at the moment. Looking at his record, some of the seasons look really, really impressive, and then his last season with Feyenoord was like Neil Lennon last year with us. I think there was a nine game period where they won basically nothing. So it's an unknown, but I would be cautious about writing them off. Because at the moment, I would say they're still favourites for this title.
Well, I'm fucking writing them off. I don't agree with that. I think the boys have got two horns on it. Yeah, one thing I wanted to touch on just before we move on. Now, I know he was no oil painting as a player, but Roy Mackay, man, what the fuck happened to him? You seen him? He has aged like a fucking rotten tangerine, man. You want to see it? let's move on to the games this week. Brilliant weekend. Obviously, sorry, we should probably mention very quickly the fact that it is Hibs in the final. We're laughing at them, but it was a very good Hibs performance. Martin Boyle getting a hat-trick. What's your very quickly your thoughts on facing Hibs in the final? We gave in probably one of our best performances of the season not so long ago against Hibs at Easter Road. Barry, what's your confidence levels like for that final?
I'm confident, yeah, but I think we do have to be careful, because as you say, Boyle can be very effective if he's used or utilised correctly. But then I don't know if it was the pressure of maybe holding on to that lead. Sometimes Hibs couldn't string two passes together in that second half. And again, that might just have been a nerves thing, but it's that whole sort of tired cliche thing. But if we play to our best and they play to our best, then we should win. So it just kind of depends, as Graham mentioned there, injuries-wise, because December is an unforgiving month, as we've mentioned, and there's a lot of games between now in the cup final. But I'd like to think that Ange will have them well prepared, and we should be taking care of them. But there is a slight concern because of I think it's a good partnership with Boyle in this bit, but we should be beating them. Yeah,
like, I think it'll kind of help us. You know, I think we struggle more when we've got teams that are just going to sit in and defend and have a low block, as you say. I think it's better if we've got a team that are willing to come out and attack us and leave spaces for us to exploit. So I think it'll be a cracking game. And I think they'll be right up for it, just like they were at the weekend. But Graham, what do you think a title in December, a League Cup, albeit probably the least important of the three, but what do you think that would do for Ange Postecoglou and his appointment, how he's seen by fans that are maybe still a little bit unconvinced or unsure of him? Do you think that would be a huge moment for him?
Aye, definitely, because, I mean, we've had quite a favourable run to the final, and so some people might say, well, he's not really had to do much to get there. We're obviously second in the league, so he's not getting much praise from that. So I think for him and for players that maybe haven't won much in their career, it will just be a massive psychological kind of improvement for them, I would say. I love the League Cup. I love this change. That, I mean, Scottish football authorities don't often make good changes in the game, but having the League Cup finished in the start of the season is just it's a brilliant idea. And I'm just jealous of everyone that gets to go to Hampden, because that's just before Christmas. It's going to be an absolutely brilliant game. 3 o'clock kickoff. And I think the way that Hibs play is more suited to beating Rangers than it is to beating us, if that makes sense. The things that worked against Rangers are not necessarily going to work against us. As you can see when we went to Easter Road and we basically destroyed them for that first half. I would much rather play someone like Hibs in this final than someone like Hearts, or even to a certain extent someone like St Johnstone, because a game against St Johnstone at Hampden, as I said in the reaction, it could go off somebody's arse and then that she lost the cup. I think it's going to be a good open game, and I think we'll score a few and beat them.
Amani, yourself, what do you think it would mean, and are you confident?
I'm always confident, I would say, but they've definitely earned the respect for the nature of that semi-final. I mean, it wasn't, as much as Barry rightly said, at times they looked nervous and they couldn't pass the ball about, I think they soundly beat them. So they deserve, you need to pin the respect that they deserve on that for playing them in the final. But in saying that, you know, I think they'll be more open than I think we showed what we could do against them at Easter Road, and we would hopefully be capable of scoring. In terms of mentality, it's huge, because, well, it works both ways. If we win, you know, that squad suddenly turned into a squad of winners. If we lose, that question mark sits with them. You know, we blew this, we need to move on, you know, maybe start questioning themselves. So it's really important, you know, we can't just view this like we have done, because we've won so many trophies recently as the starter for 10, not 10 in a row, but, you know, just the starter, essentially.
Back too soon, still raw.
we're all over it. We've all said that. We can't just assume we're going to win it, as I suppose is the point I'm making. We need to earn it, and it's important. It's the start of a new team and a new era after what happened last season. It can go one of two ways, as we know. And both of them could have a significant impact on what happens for the rest of the season.
Barry, this week, two games this week, as there will be for the whole of, well, from now until the 2nd of January. Back to Europa League action with a trip to Germany to face Bayer Leverkusen. As it stands just now, Bayer Leverkusen are on 10 points at the top of the group. Then we've got Real Betis on 7, ourselves on 6, and then Ferencváros with Neil Poit. What's your, you know, how would you go about things for the Leverkusen game? Some people say play a full strength team, go for it. You know, it's a kind of if you don't win this one, then you're definitely not going to go through. But there's a small chance we need to try and get something. Or do you think we sacrifice this game, sacrifice the Europe stuff because we are in the conference after Christmas? Just try and prioritise domestic football. Where do you stand?
Personally, I think Kieran was making the point. I think that it is like a free hit, but Sunday's by far the most important game. So I would be prioritising that, but I don't think Ange will. I think that because of the whole momentum and we're playing well, scoring goals, I think that we will go full strength. And we'll see whether that is enough. I know that I've heard that Leverkusen have got quite a bad run of injuries just now. But if we can... we can get a positive result, it would be great for our confidence, but as long as it's not an absolute hiding, because I think that could dent our confidence. But if we could get a positive result or maybe even a narrow defeat, and that sounds defeatist already, but win on Sunday, I would be more than happy with that. Just get through it without any injuries and without a demoralising romp for them.
Graham, obviously you could give us a wee bit of insight in terms of being over in Germany. I saw in the news today that apparently, I don't know if, correct me if I'm wrong here, about Germany possibly getting into a lockdown in the next couple of days. I don't know if that's just parts and like regional lockdowns or if it's a whole country lockdown, but will there be fans at the ground? Will it be a full capacity?
I think there was decided today that it's going to be okay for this match. It's a state thing, so every state has different regulations. Like Bavaria is quite conservative with it, so we are in a kind of partial lockdown at the moment where you can only have five people from two families meeting each other. So, there's going to be fans, and I think it comes back to the idea of hunger. Like we're talking about Rangers, and one of the things that Mario Götze said that basically when he won the World Cup with Germany, he felt as if he'd completed football, and that's why he's basically kind of fallen into insignificance now. And you have to wonder if this is a Leverkusen team. I watched them against Bayern in the first half. They had they play with two defensive midfielders. And the two defensive midfielders, the only ones that they had fit, were basically their version of Tam Rogic. So they had two Tam Rogic at defensive mid, and Bayern just went through them like a dose of salts.
Sounds good to me.
So they are definitely there for the taking, especially if they think to themselves, look, we're basically qualified. We've got more important things. They've only won two games in the last eight, I think it is. They're slipping down the table a little bit. They were only 1 point ahead of Union Berlin. And their game, I think they beat Bochum 1-0 at home at the weekend. So they're definitely there for the taking. And I just wish that this was a home game for us, because if this was a home game for us, I think there's a chance we could take some points off them away from home. I want us to go for it, because I feel as if I think it was either Lorenzo or Kieran that mentioned it in the agenda. If we play our second string, we're going to get absolutely pumped, because our second string's not very good. So I think we need to go for it. I mean, what's one more game when you've got about 12 in the next fucking few weeks?
As you say, if they're struggling for wins domestically and they're dropping down the league a bit, do you think there's a chance that they're struggling with injuries and things like that? Do you think they take their eye off the ball a little bit with this game, considering they're at the top with 10 points, or do you think they'll play to win?
Well, I mean, quite a good kind of way to look at it is looking at their latest DFB Pokal match when they played, I think it was Karlsruhe, who are like Bundesliga 2, and they get beat. So obviously they'd taken their eye off the ball for that game because it wasn't a league game. So that suggests to me that they might basically put out a lesser team, or maybe the players won't care as much about the game. That's kind of hopeful. I've got a former student of mine contacted me on Instagram basically saying, like, I remember you were a Celtic Glasgow fan, as he put it. And he now works for Bayern, and he wanted to offer me tickets. And I was speaking to him about the game, and like he was basically saying that to them, it's just not really something they're thinking about at the moment. It's just a fixture that they need to get past. And we'll see. Like, it's one of those games that you think to yourself, okay, this is here for us, and then you end up getting beat like 4-0 or something. But so I'm quietly optimistic that we can score and we can maybe try and get a draw or something.
So Manny, what's your approach? There's obviously talk of potentially Starfelt coming back, maybe even Tam Rogic coming back. What kind of, you know, what would be your approach be, and who would you like to feature? Would you rotate things, maybe Forrest coming in for Abada?
minimal changes. Forest for Abada would be an obvious one, but I think you still need momentum in terms of our best team, to an extent. I don't think you can approach this thinking, because I think if we don't go 100%, there's a real good chance we do get done in, regardless of the situation Leverkusen are in. You've heard the manager talk. He only plays one way and he only approaches things one way in terms of the intensity and the attacking. So see, trying to kind of dilute that's when we could be in danger. It's one of those ones where you just kind of wish it was over, if you know what I mean, but we have got a slight chance, you know, of going through in the Europa League, but I still think that's something that we would attain to going forward. Right now, you just want to kind of, we know we've got the conference stuff, that's in the bag. So the Leverkusen and the Betis games are games that you're really just thinking, let's get through them. If we win, then we get a good performance, great. But just avoid injury and avoid various other things. So when the game comes, I'll be excited to watch it and I'll hope that we do well and stuff like that. But right now, if you ask me what I'm thinking more about, I'm thinking more about Sunday, which is probably another reason why I'm not a football manager. But generally speaking, it's just... I just wish they weren't there just now, but I'll defer to Graham. If they're on the downs, you know, we might have a chance just now of taking points off them, but ultimately get it over with is the way that I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of tell you a lot, I suppose, about where we are right now, that we're kind of, we've got a game against a Bundesliga team away in Europe and we're kind of not too bothered about it and we're looking past it, looking at the weekend, but... Barry, the weekend's game against Aberdeen, it's at home, an Aberdeen side that blow hot and cold, have done for pretty much all season. They look as if they're getting a bit of momentum and then they slip to a poor result again. Scott Brown obviously coming back for his first game at Celtic Park after going up there. How do you approach that game and what do you think about starting 11? Any changes that you'd like to make? Any, for example, the likes of Starfelt and that, would you throw them back in?
Yeah, I'd be more comfortable throwing them back in for that game rather than Thursday night. I think that, as you say, Aberdeen blow hot and cold. And while it'll be nice to have Scott Brown back, it's a kind of sideshow I could do without. I think he will get a good welcome, but I just can't be bothered with him if he's smashing into tackles and stuff like that. I don't often like when former players come back to play against us. But no, I think that if the likes of Starfelt and Rogic are just missing, maybe it's a game too soon on Thursday night. If Forrest doesn't start and Abada does, I would start Forrest on Sunday. He seems to have a good record against Aberdeen, as does Tam. So it would be full steam ahead for the Aberdeen game. It seems like forever since we've been at Celtic Park. I know we had a wee run where we were there quite a lot, but the way the fixtures have worked out and with the international break, it'd be good to get the players back. And just, again, foster that relationship between the manager, the players and the fans. And I think they'll get a hero's welcome, regardless of what happens on Thursday night. So, no, I'm just looking forward to it. And it's a big game. I know Aberdeen aren't where they once were, but it's always one of the fixtures that kind of stand out at the start of the season. You like to when you're playing them. And even over the last few years when Rangers went in the league, they were our main competitors. So, no, I think it'll be a good game and hopefully we'll score a good few goals.
I must say I'm a wee bit nervous about the game on Sunday just purely because I feel like we spoke so much about our tough away games and the fact that they've got tough away games now. They've got quite a run of playing all the teams that you wouldn't want to play away right now. And I'm a wee bit worried that we become a wee bit complacent with the likes of the Aberdeen game. The Aberdeen game could be a fucking walkover. It could be a piece of piss. Or it could be a very tough game where we drop points and we don't manage to get over the line and take all three. And I think just relying on the fact that it's at home to make things easier, I'm not quite at that point yet. I don't think it's a guarantee at all. I would like to see the likes of Starfelt come back in, but then I have my worries about him, about whether he is going to come in a bit too cold and whether he's going to take time to get up to speed, which kind of makes me think, you know, if he's fit, play him on Thursday. You know, I worry about them coming in rusty on Sunday, and the midfield battle, Graham, you know, talking about Scott Brown coming back and all that. I mean, you know for a fact, once Ian Bankers stopped humping him before the game starts and all that sort of thing, like, he is going to be desperate to win that game, because that's the type of guy he is. He will be crunching into tackles, like Barry says, and we're going to have to win that midfield battle, because I think that's going to be so important. Him, Lewis Ferguson, they will be decent, and he will raise his game, and he'll probably get others to raise their game as well. It's not going to be an easy game this on Sunday. We really need to concentrate to win it.
No, and I think, like, Aberdeen have been maybe not getting the points they deserve a lot of the times over the last few weeks. I remember a couple of weeks ago I put a bet on them against Motherwell, and I think they had like 60% possession, 20 shots and goal, and get beat 2-0 or something like that, and Motherwell had 3 shots and goal. So they clearly are a team in transition. But the thing for me that I'm looking for is that, okay, they've got Brown and Ferguson, but we've got McGregor and Beaton, and they can put tackles in as well. You know what I mean? It's not as if they're going to be shying away from it. I maybe fear for Turnbull a little bit and kind of caught in the crossfires. But no, I look forward to us playing teams at home that are maybe less defensive than the likes of St Johnstone, because if a team comes out a bit against us, then we've got Kyogo, we've got Jota, we can really, really punish teams. So I think there will be goals in the game. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet, but I'm pretty confident of beating them as long as we kind of keep players fit and go along the game plan and don't get anyone sent off or anything like that for doing Scott Brown.
So Manny, any changes you would make? Anything you want to see in particular? What about Tam? If Tam's fit, do you play Tam and go back to McGregor in the six and Beaton out the team on the bench? What do you think?
I mean, you know my feelings on Beaton long term, but right now I wouldn't rush Tam back, even though he's got a good record against Aberdeen. I've just got a wee feeling that this will be the game where Jamesy, I know he scored on Saturday, but this is where he announces himself as back, if you know what I mean. I know he only came on like for the last wee bit of the game and got the goal, but Abada is a guy who is still young, developing. He scored some good goals for us, obviously, away in Ferencváros. But in terms of his performances out wide on the right side of that front three, you know, they aren't consistent enough for him to start. If you've got a choice between him and Forrest, it's Forrest. I think that front three could be the key on Sunday. Graham touched on it. I think we've all kind of alluded to the fact that Aberdeen are likely to be less defensive than a lot of other teams. And I think that Forrest, Abada and Kyogo could really make the difference there. So I would stick with the midfield that we've had for the last few games, but I would get Forrest in there, and I think we could cut them open. I'm really excited to see Forrest back. I think he could add a real dimension to that front three.
Well, it's been a great week. There's been a lot happening that does feel to me, before Graham pushed on my chips, it does feel as if the tide is turning, that the good guys are starting to win. Through to the final of the first cup competition, the chance to lift a trophy before Christmas. We have a big week coming up. You know, win this game on Thursday. I know no one's really expecting it, but, you know, win that game and suddenly you're looking at Europa League qualification after Christmas and games after Christmas. And then a big game against Aberdeen at the weekend. The banter years are back, Barry. It's a great time to be a Celtic fan again. Everything's rosy.
It is, yeah. I feel like we've come out the other end of last year. I'm going to be like you, Louis. I'm feeling positive. The Celtic are back and we're back with a bang, baby.
One hey, Manny, take a draw of this. Come on, enjoy
it. Yeah, lads, I've enjoyed the banter fair fortnight, right? But it depends how much money's in the bank to see if it goes any longer than that. I hope yous are right. I'm just urging a bit of caution. But what a week. What a couple of weeks. Weekend was fantastic. Let's keep the positivity going. The podcast of the proletariat.
Get it right up then, Graham. Am I right?
You are right. I just... Well,
No! You don't need it. I just
get battled then.
Agreed.
I just want the board to keep their fucking foot on their neck, or put their foot on their neck for the first time, because that's the only thing that's stopping us from the being the best that we can be. That fucking board holding us back. Other than that, fucking love this Celtic team.
Well, we are the greatest. Barry Gallagher, it's been a pleasure, my man.
Thank you very much for having me, and let's hope we have another week like this one coming up.
Absolutely. Graham, pleasure as always.
I'm pretty sad after this podcast, to be honest. You've all brought me down.
You're like you're like Somani of a couple of years ago when we were winning everything, just heavy negative. Somani?
Heavy positive this week, mate. Hosting skills were out of this world. Here we go.
10 in a row.
I thought you were going to say 10 in a row.
Oh, Jesus.
Only 9.5 years to go.
Here we go, 1 in a row. There we go.
I had flashbacks to that drinking game for the Christmas special.
Oh,
yes.
Coming soon.
Our last Christmas special coming soon. Have a think of drinking games. We need suggestions. Anyway, this has been the Cynic Weekly, and we will speak to you down the road.